Well, I have the pleasure to introduce Lakita to you guys this morning. She comes to us from Christ Community Church. As you saw from Steve, he's very excited to have her here to minister today. I did get to touch base with her a little bit this morning. She's got a word for us about passion and purpose and how those things kind of mold together. So if you guys could just give Lakita a warm hillside welcome, and then I'll just lay hands on her. Let's just reach our hands out to Lakita. Father, we just thank you so much for the word that you've placed inside of Lakita's heart, Lord. Even speaking with her this morning, Father, you've definitely given her a word for our house this morning about passion and purpose and how those things work together, Father. And I pray that you would just anoint her lips this morning, Lord. And I pray that the message that you've placed inside of her heart, Lord, would just come out in every way that you would have, Lord. We just thank you, and we're excited to hear what you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, can you hear me? All right, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Good. I'm so excited to be here. I think it's been probably about maybe a year since I've been here last, and I always have a ball with you guys, so I'm so excited. You know, as I've been studying and just preparing for my time with you, I believe the Lord has given me a word specifically for this house that I want to share today, and I'm going to share that in a little bit, but I just wanted to talk about what it means to be passionate and then connected to God's purpose. So our passion, God's purpose. And so how many of you have ever asked the question, what am I supposed to do, or what have I been created for? Has anyone ever? Is anyone still trying to figure it out? There's only two people. Everyone else knows it. Okay, so everyone who knows what they've created to do, raise your hands. Ah! Oops, sorry. All right, so we're all still on that journey, right? But I believe that God gives us passions. He gives us desires. He puts those in us. And then he asks us to partner with him. And he gives us and he shows us purpose. And those two ingredients together forms what I call is destiny. So we have our passion, his purpose, it's destiny. And so when I've been studying over the last several months about Nehemiah, and I just love his story, and my wonderful hostess here also was talking about how she loves the story of Nehemiah. This is my hostess, Anya, right here. Isn't she beautiful? She's given me great instruction. She's given me wisdom. She told me where to walk. She asked me about my sermon. I showed her my notes. So she's been amazing. But we were just talking about Nehemiah and the story, the richness of it. And, you know, I'll tell you this. When I first started out in you know, studying the Bible, I used to like the New Testament because I said, that's where it's happening, right? The Old Testament, that's the old, right? I need to see the fire, the excitement. So I was always wanting to read the New Testament. And when I started the school of ministry, they were like, okay, we're going to read the Bible all the way through. And I'm like, oh, I got to read the Old Testament. How many of you know I found out there was so much drama in the Old Testament? I didn't need to watch a talk show. I didn't need to watch a reality show. If you just read the Old Testament, you'll see everything in there. You'll see dysfunctional families. So anybody raised in a dysfunctional family? Or maybe you know a family, like around the corner, right? So there's so much great insight. And so I want to just talk to you about Nehemiah. And I want to talk to you about what the Lord has placed in my heart, the passions that he's given me, and the journey that I've been on to find out what is a specific purpose. How's God going to use my passion to bring destiny? And so this is one of the things I wanted to leave you guys with. God invites us to partner with him to make a lasting impact on the world. He wants us to make an internal impact on the world. We all will leave a legacy. Okay, all of us will leave a legacy. We get to choose if that's going to be a good legacy or if it's going to be a bad legacy. How many of you want to leave an impactful legacy? Yeah. I want when I'm gone and my kids are gone and my grandkids are gone, the things that I've prayed into, the things that I've sowed into are still going. I want a return on my investment. Okay? I want a return on my investment. And so when we look at passion, you say, well, what is passion? Passion is a strong feeling of enthusiasm for something or about something. Some people are going to do something. You're passionate about it. So I guess yesterday there were people passionate about a football game, right? Is anybody here participated in that? Some, right? Some were. You were passionate. There's enthusiasm. There's excitement. Or maybe it's a certain job that you have, or maybe it's a certain hobby that you have that you have great passion behind it, almost to the point where it takes no effort for you to do it. What do people hear when you speak about something over and over again, right? They say you're passionate about that. Then I look at purpose. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created. It is why it exists. So God has a divine purpose and plan for all of us. There is a specific reason why we each exist. And sometimes we try to disqualify ourselves and say that God doesn't have a purpose or he doesn't have a plan. And he does. It's specific. It's designed. You know, my daughter was talking about, we have a 14-year-old daughter, and she made this statement. She was brushing her hair, and her hair was coming out in the brush, just like regular hair shedding. And she says, you know, the Lord knows how many hairs I have, even the ones I lost, right? And I'm like, that's so wise. She's 14. That's just so wise. But that is the truth. He knows every single hair on your head, even the ones you lose every day. There's a specific design. So just to give you a little background about Nehemiah, so the city of Jerusalem, the walls were torn down, the people of Israel were taken into captivity, they were taken out of their home city, they were taken into other nations, and there was a period of time, years and years had gone by, and they were going to be allowed to come back into their city. But only about 2% of the people that originally were living there decided to come back. Now here's the thing, if you think about it, so if your city was all torn down, fire, there's no walls, there's no protection, how many of you would want to go back? Right? Okay, that's probably the reason why not too many people wanted to go back. But here enters Nehemiah. Nehemiah at this time, he's the cupbearer. He's like the bodyguard to the king, to the Persian king. And he hears about the desolation. He was also taken out, right? He was born in exile. And he hears about the desolation of the city. And this is what Nehemiah does. And Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 10. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakali, in the months of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. So he wanted to know about all those people, his people that were displaced, and he wanted to know about the city. And they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Listen to what Nehemiah does. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And this is what he said. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God. We just sung about how great and awesome our God is. Who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. The people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Nehemiah continues to go on and send his petition to the Lord. And one of the things that I love about Nehemiah is he immediately, when he heard this, he moved into intercession. Now it's becoming his passion. So my question to you is, what is moving you to pray? What is something that you're constantly praying about? Nehemiah also sacrificed when it said that he prayed and he fasted. You know, when I was looking in the scripture and I was studying, they said that he did this for 4 months. 4 months he sought the Lord. 4 months he cried out. 4 months he interceded on the behalf of his lost people. 4 months. So I ask you again, what is it or who is it that you're interceding for? Who are you weeping for? Who are you crying for? What injustice is going on in our land that you're weeping for? That you're turning down your plate for? We hardly hear of anyone fasting. I'm an eater. Anybody else an eater in here? Love to eat. But what is that thing that will tell you, put aside your plate? What is that thing? That is your passion. Now, here's one thing that I heard, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Do any of your friends, you guys can talk to me because I'm a talking kind of preacher. Do any of your friends tell you, you're always talking about that? Anyone here ever hear that from their friends? Why are you all, yeah, right? Why are you always talking about that? Like, I have this heart and desire for leaders. So I'm always talking about how people can be better communicators, how people can be better leaders. I'm always trying to train people. Like, I love the School of Ministry at Christ Community. And I used to be Pastor Blair's substitute teacher. Now he is, well, you guys know, because you hear him teaching every Sunday. I used to just sit in awe like, oh my goodness, the knowledge, the wisdom that he knows. So I love to be able to substitute and be able to learn from him. So I have this passion and desire for leaders and to train them and to equip them. I have this desire to equip people to become passionate, to become motivated, to become mighty. I have this passion to let you know that you can be whatever you want to be. That's my passion. So when people talk to me, they hear that all the time. So what is it, or what conversations do people hear you saying all the time? That's your passion. That's your passion. And so here's the thing. The thing that we sometimes complain about and we're crying out and we're asking for change, maybe you are the change. Maybe God is saying you're the change agent. Maybe God is saying, I want you to take that passion that you have for that and I want you to walk it out. I want you to be the change in the earth. I want you to be the change on your, I'm getting ready to say it, your job. Did I just say a bad word in church? Right? Your job. So speaking of that, we have to look at when we're talking about passion, we're talking about his purposes, we need to look at where God's planted us. Where has God placed you? Where do you spend the bulk of your time? Because right there, that's your ministry ground. Sometimes a lot of us, we say, you know, I believe the Lord's called me to ministry, right? And so we assume that this right here is ministry. This isn't. Only about 10% of people, Christians, are probably going to preach from this podium. But the rest of us, 90%, our ministry is right out those doors. Our ministry is our workplace. Our ministry is the hair salon, ladies. Right? How many times have we gone into the salon and we've heard negative talk? Anyone go into the salon? Okay, just one. No one else goes and gets their hair cut. No one else. So those opportunities, those places, that's where we are called to impact. So look at the place that you're planted. Okay, I'm getting ready to say another bad word in church. So we said work. How about the family he's placed you in? We just experienced Thanksgiving, and we're getting ready to go into Christmas. Sometimes it's not always easy. Everybody hasn't grown up in a Brady Bunch type of family, right? And so sometimes it can be hard, but are we necessarily being the light? I will tell you this. I am a strong-willed person. Is there anyone like me? Any strong-willed? Raise them high. It's okay. That's right. Feel proud. So we are strong-willed people. So sometimes, I will let you, this is a secret, let's just keep this right up here, is that if I have an opinion about something, I am going to exert my opinion. Anyone ever do that? Thank you. See, my wonderful hostess, she's being honest, right? And so sometimes I will call it being passionate about how I feel, right? But what would you guys call it? That's right. Bossy. So even sometimes in family situations, right, God's calling us to be the light, right? He's calling us to be those that share the gospel, but share it in love, right? He's not calling me to browbeat family members if they're not doing the things that I want them to do. But where has he placed us? We need to look at those opportunities. We need to ask ourselves, am I showing the love of God? And am I truly being the light? If we want to leave that great legacy. Here's another thing too. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, and it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there's no task, there's no occupation that is insignificant. Do you understand that? There is no task, there's no job, there's no employer that you can't make an impact at. And God just wants us to open our eyes to that, wherever we spend our time. You know, you may look and say, well, Lakita, I do this. I'm not like a manager. I'm not a CEO, so I can't make an impact on people's lives. Who believes that? Thank you. That's right. That's not the truth. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter how long you've been at your doing your occupation. God can still use that. And not even God can still use that. God will use that. So be excellent at whatever you do. I said this at my church a couple of months ago. We need to be the ones that people look for, right? People need to come and seek us out. We are believers. We serve a mighty King. The songs that we just sung, we said we lift him high. We give him thanks. He's mighty. He's awesome. So who are we not to say, God, please give me skills, give me wisdom, give me discernment, give me ability? We should be the best at what we do. We should be sought out after. And I'm not talking about just in your workplace. Like if you are in a company, people from other states should be looking for you. And I believe that is what God wants us to do. He wants to take our passion that he's actually given us, right? And then mix it with his purpose for true destiny. That's the plan that he has for us. The other thing is to be an intentional leader. I've said this before. We need to make sure that we're asking God for discernment and wisdom in whatever we do, right? So if I know that I like to teach leaders, some of the things that I've done, I listen to all kinds of podcasts about leadership. I get books on leadership. There are other leaders and preachers that I look to for advice. I look to Pastor Dave and Pastor Blair, and I'll ask different questions because I want to know as much as I can. I want to be great at what I do, and that's what I want all of you guys to be. I want you to be great at what you do. Here's the thing, and you know, people think, well, God's not looking for perfection. That's true. He's not looking for perfection. None of us can be perfect. But what he's looking for is willing vessels. He's looking for people that will raise their hand and say, you know what, God, send me. I'm your girl. I'm your guy. Send me. But then this is kind of what happens. This is my third point. You got to get rid of the buts. So look at the person next to you and say, get rid of the buts. All right, say it to the other person. Maybe they'll laugh at you. Tell them. So you got to get rid of the buts. So there's always going to be obstacles. And even with Nehemiah building the wall, coming in, seeing the desolation in this city, and getting the permission, he got the favor from his king to leave and to go help rebuild. But he had a task in front of him, right? He didn't have the amount of people that he would have thought he would have needed to build the wall. You need resources, you know, even though he did receive favor, but there was so much opposition. There was so much against him. So even with passion, even with knowing what God has for you to do, there's still going to be obstacles. So I would be lying if I came up here and said, oh my goodness, it's going to be sunshine. You got your passion. You know what to do. Everything's going to be fine. Would any of you believe me? Right? You wouldn't believe me. You'd probably walk out and be like, oh no, what is she talking about? No, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be the enemy that's going to tell you you can't. And sometimes it's not even just the enemy. Sometimes it can be who? It could be us. So get rid of the buts. So here are some of the things, right? And here's one thing, too, I want you to know. The enemy doesn't mind if we come to church. Do you guys know that? He does not care necessarily if you come to church and we have a good time. What makes him upset and frightens him is when he knows that we know what we've been designed to do, and guess what? And we go do it. Because he knows that because of our obedience, we will impact more people. That's one thing I like about, I told you my passion is to teach leaders. So in our school of ministry, we may have 15 students. But to me, I don't see 15. I see 100 for each student, right? Because we all have our own realm of influence. We all have the opportunity to impact more people than you think. It's a ripple effect. And so there's always going to be opposition. So he doesn't care if we come to church and have a good time, but what just ticks him off is if we decide to get into agreement with God, we give our 100% and we say, you know what? We're going to change our community. I'm going to change my neighborhood. And it's just going to take me. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. Can you imagine the damage, the great damage, that we can do? Can you imagine the damage that we can do to the enemy if we all come into agreement with God? And so these are some of the buts, right? So the opposition we already have there, we talked about with the enemy, but we fight him with the word of God, okay? Not in our own strength, but with the word of God. And the next one is the buts that we actually say. Well, God, I could do it, but I'm not qualified. God, I would apply for that job, but I don't have a degree. And I'll tell you, where I currently work at, there was a position that I was going to apply for. And you know how you look at the job description, it says you have to have this, this, and this. And it says these are the qualifications. And I looked at those and I was like, oh, I don't have all of those, you know. And so I wasn't going to apply for the job. And then I knew other people who were going to apply for the job and they had all those qualifications and then some. And I was like, okay, I should go ahead and do it. I mean, what can I lose, right? What can I lose? Okay, God, I'm going to do it. And I applied. There were several hundred people that applied for this job. And guess what? I got it. What if I would have listened to that, but I don't have this specific degree? Look where I would have missed out. And it's not just for me to get the job, right? It's ultimately for God to get the glory, because the new role that I'm in, I can impact more people. I can share the light of Christ. I can be that example. I can be that sought after one. Get rid of the buts. So, well, I can do it, God, but I don't know if people will listen to me. Has anyone ever had that, the fear of rejection? Anyone? Yeah, right? You think, oh, they're not going to listen. Well, I'll tell you here, if you're ever a teacher, that is probably one of the biggest things that you're probably going to face. Is there anyone, preachers, teachers in here, right? And you feel that, like, are they going to listen to me? And I remember several years ago, I was invited to come to a specific board member for a board that helps out with inner city schools. And so they asked me to attend this big meeting that they were having. And I was like, okay, no problem, I'll attend. I wasn't on the board. It was all their board members, and they were having a strategic planning session. So I was all excited, and I go there, and I open the door of the room. And the only thing I see is, like, CEOs of companies. And I'm, like, the youngest one there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, God. Like, I don't fit. What difference am I going to make? Where did you place me? You know, I'm thinking like, God, I think you sent me to the wrong place. You opened the wrong door. And so when I get there, I'm sitting there, and it was a little intimidating at first. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, Lakita, you know what? You've been placed here for a reason. And I want you guys to know that too. Do not discount where God's placed you or brought you to. There is a reason and there is a purpose for it. So I'm at this meeting, and then they broke us out into small groups, and we're planning like 10 years out, you know. And I'm like, wow, this is like big time for me, you know. And so I had to make this choice. I had all of these buts going on in my head. But this, but that, but this, but that. And I'm like, okay, okay. And I was like, shut up. All right? I had to tell, you have to tell yourself to shut up. Okay? And I did. And I said, you know what? I've been invited to this table. So you know what? I'm going to give 100%. Again, what am I going to lose? So I start talking, I'm giving ideas, I think we should try this, I think we should do this. And then in the middle, I felt like this one gentleman wasn't listening to me. There's all the buts going through my head. But, and I'm like, shut up, again. And then I stopped, and I remember giving my all, feeling good about it. And I was getting ready to leave, and I was shaking everyone's hand, and the board president came over to me and was like, thank you so much for coming. And I was like, oh, it was fun, it was great, you know, I had a good time. And then he said something to me. He said, and we want to invite you to sit at this table. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I didn't know this is what this was about. So here again is another situation. What if I would have listened to the buts? What if I would have backed away and listened to the thoughts of, you're not qualified. No one's going to listen to you. You don't have anything to say. What if I would have listened to that? This is opposition that we are faced with every single day with doing the will of God. And because I chose to tell those thoughts to shut up, I was asked to now sit at this table. So I didn't know that basically what was happening is I was being interviewed and didn't even know. Imagine the places God wants to sit you at. But you're holding back because you think of those buts. So I'm going to tell you today, we need to get rid of them. I don't care what they are. You may even say, but you don't know my past. Guess what I do know? We all have one. We all have a past. We've all have made choices that probably were not pleasing to God. We've all made choices that I'm sure if we spread them out here on the altar, some of us would be embarrassed. But guess what? We all got them. That does not disqualify you. What qualifies you is that you've been bought with a price. The shed blood of Jesus Christ wipes that all away. And it's nothing but the enemy to try to take that to make you feel fearful, because that's what he does. He uses fear. He wants you to be scared that someone may know, and then that will disqualify you. But guess what? What if you don't care? What if you say, I don't care because I know that God has a plan for me, he's got a purpose for me, and whatever he sanctioned for me to do, he's going to bless. What if you had that thought? It's a lot different than, I don't know what could happen, I don't know what people could say. But we all have that. Get rid of the buts. So who's willing to want to do that today? Who's got some buts that they want to just throw out the window, right? So, like I said, Nehemiah had those oppositions. He had opposition from, even if you read the whole story, he even had opposition from his own people. He had opposition from the outside enemy. It's a fascinating story if you look. But he continued on. One of the things that he did was he had everybody work in their own area building the wall, like in their own community, in their own town, in their own part of the country. And here's the thing I would tell you is that God has given us each something. So I don't have to run after what Todd has been given, right? Todd doesn't have to acquire and want what I have because God's given us each a place and he's given us each tools. Do you guys understand that? So sometimes, you know, when you look at somebody, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so great. Like, I want to be like that person. No, God's created you to be you. And I'll tell you this, a couple of months ago, we had a speaker at our church, and I knew I was going to have to preach the Sunday after he preached. And he's a great, 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 world-renowned speaker. And I was like, there's no way I can do that. Like, they just heard him, and now I'm coming out the Sunday. Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody ever compare themselves? Nobody raised their hand, but you all laughed. So I'm going to say yes. And so I remember like feeling like, oh my goodness, but what was I doing? I was discounting the anointing and the gift that God's given me. That's what I was doing. And so immediately I'm like, okay, wait a minute. God's given me gifts. God's given me anointing. God's given you gifts. He's given you anointing. And guess what? He needs it all. Something is missing when we're not doing what he's called us to do. Something is missing here in this town when you are not doing what God's called you to do. Something is missing on your job when you're not walking in obedience to God. It's important. Every single last one of us are important. And so we need to get rid of those buts. We need to get rid of those opposition, just like Nehemiah did. And then the last thing is, or the most important thing, when I was looking at scripture, remember I talked about how Nehemiah prayed and he fasted. And it did that for 4 months. You know, after the people were working and they were building the wall, and there were times when they had to fight at the same time. So they were building with one hand, fighting with the other, right? Anybody know what that's like? You ever feel like, oh my goodness, it's coming again. After I finish one battle and get through, here comes another one, you know? Sometimes we're like, God, I just need a break. Anybody ever felt that way? I just need a break. Give me a little bit of time, you know? Sometimes it does feel like that. But then there's sometimes where you're like, oh, I got the peace of God. You know, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the situation, I know that God's there. And Nehemiah 6 and 15 through 16 says something. This, to me, the whole story is impactful. But when I started looking at this, I'm like, oh my goodness, God, you are like really something. It says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. So in 2 months, less than 2 months, the wall was built. Even with opposition from the enemy, the wall was built. Even with a minimal amount of people, the wall was built. But because you had passion and because you had purpose, guess what we saw here? We saw acceleration, right? In the time to complete this 1.6 mile long wall. Acceleration. And that's the word that the Lord really gave me over the past 2 weeks when I've been praying about, okay, God, what do you have me to speak to the wonderful people at Hillside? And the word he kept on saying over and over was acceleration. So what would have probably taken several months to build, the people were able to do in less than 2 months. So even though it took twice the amount of time in what? What did it take twice the amount of time doing? In prayer and fasting. But then here comes a suddenly. Right? A suddenly comes out of nowhere. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been toiling, you believe in God for something, then boom, here comes a suddenly. And so that's what I believe the Lord wants to do in this house, is to bring acceleration. And when you look at acceleration, the definition is to move faster, to gain speed, to cause something to happen sooner or quicker. How many of you want acceleration? Right? So that's what I believe that the Lord is saying. So when I looked at Nehemiah, and when I looked at the prayer time, when I looked at the time the passion that it took, right? You guys have passion. You have boldness, right? You want to change your city. You want to turn it upside down for the kingdom of God. And I believe the Lord is saying, with that passion, with that purpose, I'm bringing acceleration. I'm going to allow things that would have taken in the normal eye, that would have seemed to be months and years, the Lord is saying, I'm going to do it in record time. And that, amen, I'll take that. I heard one person say, I'll take that. That's what he wants for us. And not even just for the body here, because I believe that for the house, but I believe he wants that too for you guys individually. Things that have been taking a long time, or you're seeming like, I believe the Lord is going to bring suddenlies, and I want you to expect suddenlies. See, that's the key too. I've gone through, I have words that have been spoken over me like from years ago, right? And sometimes you can get a little discouraged. You could be like, it's 5 years out, Lord. Okay, right. Anybody ever try to work it into place? Anybody? You know, just a little help, you know, because, you know, sometimes he just may need a little nudge. Maybe he forgot, right? He needs no help. Because actually, we can sometimes make it worse. But I remember saying, okay, God, when is this going to happen? Or when is this going to happen? You know, I'm being obedient. And these are just normal questions that you ask, you know. And sometimes I think, I remember when I was young, that I would think that I couldn't ask God that because I thought that I was being selfish, you know. But guess what? He knows me anyway. So I might as well just say what I'm thinking because he already knows what I'm thinking. And he even spoke to me and said, there are going to be some suddenlies that are going to happen, but I need you to be in expectation. That's the key, is expectation, that we're always constantly waiting. So this is how I'm walking through life right now. Oh my goodness, it can happen. I mean, it can happen right now, like right now. That's the faith that we need to have. Not discouragement, and even sometimes discouragement can come, but what do you need to do? You need to say, it's coming, and tell those buts what? Shut up. We were just in a youth retreat, and the kids were talking. We were talking about overcoming and challenges, and one of the elders got up, and he was talking to all the youth, and he was like, this is what I want you to say to the enemy when he comes to threaten you, or when he comes to say that you're not an overcomer. He said, I want you to tell the enemy this. He was like, shut your face. And that's what he told. And the whole weekend, every single teenager was walking around saying, shut your face. But sometimes we need to do that. We have to be firm. We have to be strong. We are not of weak people. We do not have a weak God. We have a strong, mighty, amazing, awesome God. That's who we serve. That is your daddy, guys. That is the gene pool that you come from. You do not come from defeat. You do not come from defeat. You come from a line of winners. And that's how we have to look at life. Even when it's challenging, even when there's opposition, you need to speak to yourself and you need to speak to the enemy. And I've had to do that in the mirror sometimes. People may think I'm crazy, but I do. I will speak to myself. There was a time I was faced, went to the doctor, and they told me that I had a cyst on one of my ovaries, and I had to go through a series of tests. And, you know, as soon as you leave the doctor's office and they tell you this and the size of a tennis ball, you're like, oh, my goodness. The first thing, what would the enemy bring to your mind? Cancer. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I remember calling my mom on the way home, and I'm like, oh my, like, I've already diagnosed myself and everything, you know. And I remember thinking, no way, that's not me. No, that's not what's going to happen here. I started speaking to myself. And when I had to go for my a test, and I remember I was looking at myself in the exam room, and they had a mirror in there, and I'm looking, I was like, oh no, your body is healed. Your body will come into alignment with the Word of God. Oh, there's nothing, and I'm talking like that. Yeah, you know, I'm not talking like, I'm healed. And no, this body is going to come into alignment with the Word of God. And it was so funny when I go on for the test, they're like, oh, we don't see anything. It looked like it ruptured. I know! Okay? That's the kind of God that we serve. So you have to remember who your dad is. You have to remember the gene pool that you come from, okay? And when you remember that, and when you, and some of you may even be thinking, well, you don't know my gene pool. You don't know my dad. And that may be the case. Maybe your natural father was not the prime and good example. And sometimes that happens. Or it could have been a mother. And that stinks. It does. But you have a heavenly father that can overtake all of that. You have a heavenly father that can heal wounds. You have a heavenly father that says, I hold you in the palm of my hands. You have a heavenly father that says there is no thing, no person that is going to stop you from doing what I've called you to do. No dysfunctional family is going to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Right? Amen. Amen? Who agrees with me? So I really believe that God wants to accelerate some things. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up. And we're going to have prayer, and then after that, we're going to have a little bit of time where we're going to actually be able to digest and talk and share and maybe ask some questions about passion and purpose. But I really believe at the same time that God is asking, and I'm just going to ask you guys to quietly, you know, if you can close your eyes too, what are those things that God has on your heart? What are those passions? And maybe you're saying, well, Lakita, you know, I don't feel as passionate as I used to about this. And I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit right now would just come and breathe new life on it. I just declare right now there are some things that you've put on the shelf and there's dust on them. Because you're like, I can't do that. I'm disqualified. Or I don't have this, I don't have this. Or my past, God, you don't know the things that I've done. And you're disqualifying yourself. But the Lord right now is breathing his Holy Spirit right now on these dreams, on these visions, these ideas, these passions that you had before. And there was dust on them. I can see that there's dust. You guys, some of you have just put them on the shelf. And there's dust. I just believe right now the Holy Spirit is breathing and blowing the dust off of them right now, and he's bringing them to life. So God, I just declare in the name of Jesus that you bring a newness right now. I declare right now that you're going to re-energize goals. You're going to re-energize ideas to do different things to advance the kingdom of God. I declare right now too that some of you, he's given you new downloads. I just see that over top of many of your heads. Just download, download, download. God's going to give you new ways of doing things. He's going to give you new ideas. And guess what? You will have someone who may say you can't do that. But God. That's the only but that we should be believing right now is but God. So God, I bless every single gifting, I bless every single passion, every single idea, and I declare that it will come to pass. I declare that this town will be shaken because there is a group of believers that will stand in the gap. I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that this city will be turned around to serve you. Because we have people that will weep, we have people that will fast, we have people that will sacrifice, just like Nehemiah did. And God, I just declare suddenlies and acceleration in Jesus' name. Acceleration in Jesus' name in this house, in the finances of this house. I declare acceleration over the finances of each and every person in this house, God. I declare suddenlies. I declare right now expectation and faith increased in this house, God. In Jesus' name. And God, I just declare that we give our all to you. I declare that there's nothing missing and there's nothing broken, but we speak wholeness, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to turn the service over to Todd.
Well, the word that came to my heart was just wow. You guys say wow. Thank you, Lakita. Thank you for sharing today. That was incredible. So, you know, there's times when there's prophecies where you say, no, that's not really for me. That's for someone else. But we're all here in Hillside, and this is the church. You know, if you can go outside to the front, there's a logo that says Hillside Christian Fellowship. You know, Lakita shared a word about acceleration. So if you're in this building today, that word's for you. And if you're not in this building today, and you call Hillside home, that works for you. God is doing some awesome things. I want to be a part of that. How about you guys? How about you guys? Here's the awesome thing. When God gives us a word like this, there is a need to set aside some time before we get distracted again with things of life and it happens really quickly, to just reflect and meditate on that. Meditate just means to take the words that we received and just keep reflecting, keep thinking them through, keep talking them out loud if you can do that. Write them down. You know, we actually have some time right now before the kids are dismissed to meditate on those words, to enter into the space that God created through the words Lakita shared this morning, and to really reflect upon them and actually act on them. Today's message was a lot about action. I heard a lot of responses to what God is doing. So can we take a moment before we dismiss officially just to reflect upon that? You know, in fact, if you can find someone next to you or find someone in the room just to reflect together upon what you heard today and what actions are required. You know, I think sometimes in a church setting, we just take a word and we don't actually respond to it. And I believe today there's a word specifically that we should respond to. So can you guys find someone right now, if it's your spouse or someone else here, just to reflect upon what was shared? And you are released whenever you feel free to go. I want to let you guys know that we want to bless Lakita today for her ministry to us. There are ushers in the back. You guys can wave your hands to collect an offering for Lakita to bless her. And also, just a word, the kids are still in service, and they will be hanging out the back. So take this time, really. Don't rush back to grab your kids right away. Take this time just to reflect and meditate. So can we do that right now? Awesome.